Hi, everyone, and welcome to The Rate Debate. I'm Darren Langer, co-head of fixed income at Yarra Capital, and joining me is our investment manager, Jessica Wren.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for having me, Darren. I'm excited to be here.
Well, the RBA has had its second meeting of the year under its new eight-meeting regime, and as largely expected, they've left rates on hold at 4.35%. A few changes this month, Jess. Certainly, the RBA definitely has moved to what I would call a neutral bias. They're no longer talking about the possibility of rate hikes or rate cuts. And they're basically saying it's now going to be data-driven heading forward, which I guess it always is. But to me, the statement was a lot more dovish than the previous one. And we've certainly seen the market react to the statement in that respect. What did you see?
Yeah, I agree. I think the RBA has definitely kept the doors open, but it's reassuring to see that they also believe the economy is going in the right direction. From my point of view, it looks like, as you said, I think they're quite data-driven going from here. But at the same time, I don't think that there will be much of a change to their language going ahead unless we see a clear revision in their forecasts. But one other thing that I'd like to mention, and I think I've talked about it in previous episodes, is that it's really about that inflation expectation once again. So the RBA has mentioned in a couple of previous appearances that they don't want any sort of language to affect the general public's inflation expectation. So I wonder if that changes consumer behavior at all.
I would doubt it. An off the line sort of statement that the RBA is not going to tighten, but they're not going to ease either. So I think to get any sort of meaningful change in consumer behavior, they're going to have to wait to see rate cuts. You need to take the pressure off mortgage holders first, I think, before you'll see any real change. It's possible, but, you know, I think for some time now, people have been expecting the next move is going to be down rather than up, and we haven't seen any meaningful change. So I doubt today is going to change the dial on that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the consumer confidence numbers really play out in the next couple of months.
Yeah, I think if the RBA doesn't see a bounce this time, they're really going to have to cut to get it. You know, it is really weak still. The consumer isn't happy. They keep blaming inflation, but rates has definitely been part of that equation as well. I guess we'll wait and see when they come out.
Yeah, true. And at the same time, we've also been seeing a slight increase in mortgage arrears, albeit it's quite small, still under 1% of total loan books. However, do you think that this is a beginning of a turning point in terms of what it means for the domestic market?
My view is that we need to see unemployment change to get a meaningful change in arrears in mortgages. You'd have to see a reasonably large spike in unemployment before that starts to become a problem, and it has to be relatively sustained. So I think it's not something that will change instantaneously. I think, you know, if anything, mortgage arrears have been running below their long-term averages for quite a long time, which you'd kind of expect when interest rates are almost zero for 2 years. I think we're just moving back to a more normal range rather than something that would be, you know, scary to the regulators out there.
Yeah, I think it really comes down to that employment number. So we have seen unemployment start to tick up a little bit. I think it's not really at the point yet where it's going to have a real effect on arrears, but it is interesting to see perhaps, you know, as the economy starts to slow down, whether that's going to have a material impact on employment numbers as well.
I think the more dangerous thing with unemployment is that no one actually knows what a neutral rate of unemployment is or employment is, their guess. So, you know, they tend to look at it in the rearview mirror and say, oh yeah, that was the number, and, you know, off we go. So they're saying a small increase in employment or unemployment from here is not necessarily a bad thing, but I don't think they really know. And again, we won't know the full impacts for some time. But I think, you know, it's always dangerous when you start chucking people out of work for any economy, and it can have disastrous sort of consequences. So I think to some extent the RBA is playing with fire a little bit on that. But while unemployment is still relatively low and inflation's relatively high, they're going to continue to err on the side of caution, I think. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely been a weakening in hours worked, and there's also been a weakening in income in general. But again, it's probably still not enough to set the RBA to a more defensive stance. But as Michelle Bullock said several times in the statement today, she's watching it really closely, which I'm grateful for because you kind of hope they are.
Yeah, definitely. And the headlines are no short of talking about redundancies going around us as well. So it's really been instilled in people's minds, and I think it's something for the average consumer to worry about.
Yeah, I still think we're too close to sort of full employment to sort of start to worry just yet. But all of these things add up over time, and I guess we'll see what happens. But, you know, I think anecdotal evidence isn't necessarily real evidence, and you heard in the statement to, in Michelle Bullock's press conference, somebody asked her a question around whether certain industries getting pay rises would be worrying overall. And she sort of batted that back and said, only if it was more broad-based, one industry isn't going to make a difference. And I think it's kind of the similar with redundancies. If it's, you know, limited to a single industry, maybe not so bad, but if it starts to become more widely based, then I think that's when you start to worry.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to see how that develops going ahead.
One thing, Jess, I think is interesting is that I think the RBA is going to be very reluctant to be the first central bank to make a change in policy. I think, you know, they're really going to take their cue from what's happening offshore. We've seen most of the central banks around the world starting to talk about the need for perhaps easier policy later on this year. Certainly the Fed and the ECB have both mentioned the potential for rate cuts going forward. What do you sort of see that's happening out there across the broader central banking world, and what do you think sort of is driving those sort of views?
Yeah, Darren, I think definitely central bankers have come out there to say rate cuts could be considered for the rest of the year. But at the moment, when we're seeing data come through, it hasn't really been enough for these central banks to act just yet, especially when we look at the US. I mean, yes, unemployment is rising, inflation is slowing, but it's still not at the stage where the Fed is seriously considering cuts within the next 2 months. So one of the key things that I'll be looking out for next week is when the Fed meets for their policy meeting and whether there's going to be a change in their dot plot projections. So there are some in markets that have been calling for perhaps they will remove one rate cut this year. I don't really think that's going to happen. What are your thoughts, Darren?
Yeah, I would doubt that one inflation number is going to change the dial too far. They're not trying to predict next month's numbers. They're trying to think about what it's going to be next year, the year after, that kind of thing. So I agree with you. I can't see it changing, but market likes to speculate on everything.
Well, unlike the rest of the central banks, the Bank of Japan has actually hiked rates for the first time in forever. What does this mean?
Yeah, it's interesting. I loosely call it a hike in rates. They've moved away from zero interest rate policy. They've moved to a band of 0 to 0.1%. I don't think any Japanese investors and things like that are getting rich overnight from that. But it probably changes a few things in their economy. You know, banks are actually going to start earning money from the Bank of Japan again for the first time in a while. It probably helps a little bit with the Japanese currency. It has been quite weak for a while, so it probably strengthens. What does it mean for the rest of the world? That remains to be seen. It probably takes away some of the pressure of Japanese investors to have to move offshore. So that could change the dial a little bit on flows into other countries. The only good thing is for Australia, it's probably a relatively positive thing because Australia looks attractive on a global basis for Japanese investors still. But I think, you know, 0.1% is hardly going to change the dial, I would imagine, you know, long term. So Jess, we're seeing some weakness in China, and that's probably led to some Chinese investors pulling back on some of their foreign investments. We're probably seeing the opposite effect in Asia, where other Asian investors are actually pulling out of the Chinese market. What do we think is going to happen, and how is that likely to impact Australian investors?
Yeah, that probably means a lot of that money coming out of China could come here onshore in Australia. And we've already seen some evidence of that with strong deal flows already at the beginning of this year. This in turn could actually damage the Chinese economy even more, which does have lingering impacts for the Australian economy.
You know, commodities is probably the one area where we're starting to see some evidence of weakening China. You know, iron ore has dropped from $140 down to about $110 a ton at the moment. Our equity analysts are predicting it to go even lower, maybe down to as much as $80 a ton. That has implications for royalties and revenue at state government level. I don't think it's a problem yet, but I guess it's something to keep an eye on. So whilst we're likely to see capital inflows, as you say, from various investors around Asia, the longer term impacts of a weaker China, I think, haven't really been factored into the picture going forward.
So going back to our outlook for 2024, I think we talked about at the beginning of the year that there was a small chance for the RBA to hike this year. I think that chance is now reduced to almost zero. And I think the risks are now more heavily skewed towards that higher for longer scenario. Our base case though, I think September is still the correct time for the RBA to cut rates, but we'll see how the rest of the world and all the data develops before we decide to come back and discuss this.
Yeah, I think for us, September is based on a number of things. One, we expect unemployment to have risen enough by that stage, but it's also predicated on the Fed and the ECB probably having cut rates by then. The longer they take to actually move interest rates, I think pushes the RBA back a little bit further. But if we get those conditions, you know, we'll probably see it. I think the other thing that might not happen is we may not get as many rate cuts as early as what some of the market's been pricing in. In the US, at one stage, they'd priced in well over 200 basis points of interest rate cuts. I think you're likely to see, unless something disastrous happens in the US election or something like that, and maybe a slower pace in the US, which will naturally mean we go slower, but it's still a good thing. I think yields will still remain relatively high for a while, which is good conditions for fixed income. If we held rates where they are now for the next 12 months, it also wouldn't be a bad thing for investors either.
It's always a good time to buy bonds.
Correct. Thank you for joining me, Jess. As always, good to discuss all things rates and more. Well, that's it for the month. Join us in May when we deliver our latest thoughts on the RBA's rate decision and provide an update on what's happening in markets. Until next time.
The Rate Debate podcast content may contain general advice. Before acting on anything in this podcast, you should consider your own objectives, financial situation, or needs, and seek the advice of an appropriately qualified financial advisor.